Good morning. Once again, good to see everyone here this morning. We have several visitors with us. Some familiar faces, which I wasn't expecting, and some we've gotten to know over the past few weeks. And of course, wish you all safe travels as you go along. And say hey to Mr. Leary for us when you see him tomorrow. This last Sunday, we spoke on a topic concerning faith. What is faith? What does faith look like? What does true faith look like? And we looked at Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at those examples that we find there in the Old Testament that the writer pointed to and how they walked in true faith, what that looks like, and how we can do that also. And Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We already talked a little bit about what hope is, what that looks like, and faith and hope, these are two ideas that are very closely knit together. And I hope that we can flesh that out even more this morning as we look at those things. But the hope that is talked about in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament is a specific kind of hope. And what kind of definition are we looking at there? You might have heard it defined as desired expectation, and I think that's a pretty good definition. These two elements, desired expectation, are involved in the type of hope that we have as Christians, as the people of God. We desire something, and we hope for it. We expect that thing. For example, I may hope to go to the moon on a rocket. I may desire that, but I don't have any real expectation for that, right? I don't have millions of dollars to go on Jeff Bezos' rocket to do that, as so many have done already, right? So I may desire that, but I don't expect that. On the other hand, no one is going to say if they have a family history of a certain disease, I hope to contract this disease. I hope to contract cancer or diabetes or heart condition, whatever it might be. They're not going to say that because the desire is not there, right? Even though it's an expectation that they might have, they certainly don't desire it. But when Abby and I were first engaged and we set that wedding date, right, I had an expectation. We had an expectation. And we had something to look forward to, and we desired that, and that was something that we hoped for. And so that is a good type of hope, and there's an even better type of hope that we will find that we have as Christians. But first of all, there are those who live without hope. They do not have any sort of hope in their life. First of all, we may look at one who says there is no hope. They say there is no hope ahead. Of course, talking about the atheist or even the agnostic. And I would observe with the atheist, they certainly do not desire anything beyond this life, and they certainly don't expect it. You could argue that the agnostic may desire for it, right? But they don't have any real expectation of anything beyond this life. They may consider it as a possibility, but they don't expect it. And so they live without hope. They don't have that hope. There are those as well that have not acted on the hope that they have heard about, right? Those that have not obeyed the gospel. And it's those who know God's plan that he has laid forward to attain that hope, right? But they haven't acted on it. They know what they need to do, and yet they choose another path. And as we talked about last Sunday, they put their faith in something else, and that leads them towards a different path. And there are those who have a false hope. Looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There are those that claim to live by the standard of God, but in reality they live by a standard that they themselves have put in place, that the wisdom of the world has set in place, and it is not God's standard. So they may claim to have hope, but it is not what God has promised. As we saw in our 1 John class and even in James, and some of those other epistles, simply claiming that you're doing one thing, but your actions tell a different story, well, that's not gonna jive with God. That's not gonna work. Both have to be unified. What we say, what we do, are we aligning ourselves to God's standard? Do we have a false hope, or do we have a true hope? Well, looking at what our hope in God is, what does that look like? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You might go ahead and just put a marker here, so we'll be coming back here a couple of times throughout the lesson. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and our hope are not attained because of anything we do. It does not exist in ourselves. It is not the kind of hope that we have in the fact that we ourselves can become good and great and perfect by ourselves on our own. That is not how this hope is achieved. Our hope is in God, and it's what He has laid out. Once again, more on this here in a little bit. But where can we find this hope? Why can we find this hope? And how can we find this hope? Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look with me at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. Says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So where can we find this hope? Why can we find this hope? It is in the fact that Christ came and offered a new and a better way than had been offered. And we accept that way. We obey that way, trusting, believing, following that path. And we find that when we do that, we are forgiven of everything that is opposed to that plan, which is sin. It is not a part of that plan. And so now, as children of God, we walk in the light as he is in the light, as John says here. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble. And God sees that. God sees that especially when we stumble and when we reach out all the further to attain what he has given to us. He sees us struggling. But when we confess sins, we recognize our sins, we confess those sins, we repent of them, he will forgive them because he has promised that he will do so. And this is hope, right? It's not that we sin and we can never come back from that. When we sin, we have an avenue where we can go to God, we can be forgiven of that. And he has promised that. It doesn't matter how many times we do that. If we come to him in the way he has prescribed, he will forgive us. And that is hopeful. That is real hope, something that we can latch on to. And so with that, he sees our continual effort, but no effort in that plan brings about nothing, and it brings no comfort to any Christian that seeks to align themselves to that lifestyle. Someone who no longer desires to live under the standard of God, under what he has prescribed. And there's also no hope or direction for anyone moving in the opposite direction. Right? They see that way, they see where it leads, but they say, no, I'm gonna go this way. And that is not hopeful. Rather, what we are called to do as Christians, as we've talked about in prior lessons, is to put in the effort, to not grow complacent, but to be continually reaching, striving, being fervent in reaching for that hope and that perfection that God has given us. And so with that, there are those that live without that hope. God offers that hope. Let's talk a little bit more about what that looks like. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a living hope that does not fade away. Because of what Jesus accomplished in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection, we now, all of us who come to God in the way he has set, all of us have an inheritance that is incorruptible and that will not pass away. And that is a solid, living hope, again, that we can latch on to. And it says, just as we looked at Revelation this morning, as we will continue to see, right? Jesus was the faithful witness. He was the firstborn of the dead. He was preeminent in that he was the first, but he's certainly not going to be the last. And those that follow him in that vein. And continuing with this, why is this a hope that we should even put our stock in? How can we trust that this is a real and living hope? Looking at Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 23, even as we talked about last Sunday in talking about faith, because the one who promised this hope is faithful, we can trust him. He has given us assurance. He cannot lie. And we know that because he has fulfilled himself time and time and time again, that this is a real hope. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Not only is this something that is offered, but it is also something that cannot be taken away once it is attained. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, from that which is promised. Now, that does not mean that we are, as we've heard, that we are once saved, always saved, right? Once we attain this, it cannot be taken away no matter how much we sin. No. Again, we follow God's plan. But once we attain that and we come to God in the way he has set forth, that cannot be taken away. And so we trust in that. that this cannot be taken away. And even in that, in this hope, and we're jumping ahead in our Revelation class, but looking at Revelation chapter 21 gives us a glimpse into what is awaiting us. And there is no sorrow, there is no death, there are no tears, there is no pain. That will not be a part of the hope that we look forward to. And so, because of what we hope for, heaven, that hope, is our anchor. Turning over to Hebrews chapter 6, probably a passage that we're all familiar with. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, we even sing a song in this type of subject, that we have an anchor. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So no matter what storms may come, no matter what pain or sorrow, no matter what comes in this life, we are anchored by the hope that we have. No matter what may come that might try to make a shipwreck of our lives, we have a hope that we can look forward to, and that offers us, again, something better than what we have here. But most importantly, with this hope, even though all pain, all sorrow, all tears will not be there, there is someone who will be there that is able to take all of that away. And of course, that is God. He is the one that offers this in the first place, and we will finally be reunited with Him in reestablishing that relationship that was lost in the garden. And again, at the end of Revelation, we see that relationship restored. We get so incredibly excited and worked up about things in this life that we may look forward to. I appreciated the prayer this morning, and you know, the distractions that may fill our lives, where we have these plans, we look forward to doing these things, and we may even use this phrase that I hope before I die I wish to do this or that. I hope one day to visit New Zealand. That's a hope of mine. I hope that I can do that. But I firmly believe that once I reach heaven, I'm not going to say, man, I really wish I had seen New Zealand so I could have seen where the hobbits were. I don't think I'm going to say that. Because God is right in front of me. And all that I have worked for, all that I have striven for and reached for is finally here. And that is what we all should work towards. It is a sure and a living hope. And so we live according to that. And when we live in hope, we will find that we die in hope. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. If anyone could look to the hope after having gone through so much, it is certainly the Apostle Paul. Look at Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul, we see, would rather go on to the hope that has been promised to him that he knows is waiting for him. He would rather do that, but he realizes there is work to be done. But later on in Paul's life, as he has gotten older, he realizes there has been a change. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 6. Paul is nearing his death. He is nearing the end of his time on this earth. And in verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He knows that the end is come, but he also realizes that the beginning is just about to start. A new life is just ahead of him. He realizes that all that he had striven for, all that he had reached for, in that race of life, right, that we read about here and in other passages, he was about to finish that race. And he was about to attain that goal. And Paul sums up his whole life in saying again back in Philippians, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." If all of us, like Paul, can say, "To live is Christ," and we say that confidently, "To live is Christ," then we can know for certain that to die, that is gain. That is great gain. Because again, we have a hope. If we live in hope, then we know that we die in hope. And when we reach heaven, when we reach that hope, there is no longer any reason to have faith, to have hope, because all that we have had faith in up to that point is now fully realized, right? All that we have hoped for is now right in front of us. We are in it. We are there. And God gives this hope to every person that has ever lived throughout time, and he offers that to us today. One more passage, and then we'll close this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God has laid out that plan to attain that hope, and that plan involves obedience. We must obey, and in obeying, we work out our own salvation as God works through us. Have you come to know God as he has said, how he is, how he works, how he can work in your life? Have you been saved? Have you been washed in the waters of baptism? Have you confessed, repented, come to him in that way? If not, then we wish to help you this morning. Or perhaps you have become a part of that plan, but now you hope and you wish and you get distracted with other things that are not looking to that heavenly goal. Well, God still offers that path, and you can get right back on it. And whether we can help or whether you go to God on your own, if that's a personal nature, then please do that. We are all in this race together. We are all looking towards that hope, and I hope that we can realize that it is certain, it is sure. This is not just some fantasy that we all have that makes our lives better. No, we are looking to something better, and we can all have that. if we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?